I'm happy to be in God's house, and I would like to get a little bit off of the normal. And I tell you, my parents, they have supported me my entire life, and they were here when the congregation was not here during the pandemic. I remember preaching to no one in the congregation and just doing it on TV, and it was a very sad day, so they are standing. But what we're going to do today is just a little bit different. We will be standing. But God put this verse on my heart when I woke up this morning, and I want to read it to you. And this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's so great when you can come into a church and you can feel the air conditioner and you can listen to pretty music and it's a pretty facility and all those things, but it really boils down to very simple things at the end of the day. When you wipe all of the fluff away, what you have is truth. And in God's word is where we draw every ounce of truth that we apply to our lives. And so I'm going to begin to read to you 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." And I'm going to read that one more time because it really needs to fall and it needs to be planted and it needs to do something that is meant always for church services, is to go out the doors and to be spread. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people," see, you have to decide, are you a child of God? Because, see, it's not an act, it's a state of being. "If my people who are called by my name," see, you're called. You can run from the call, you can step back from the call, you can act like the call isn't there, but at the end of the day, you're called. You can answer that call. You can yield to that call. You can say, "God, I accept the call." But see, you're called no matter what you do. You were put here for a purpose, and you're called. And not only are you called, but you're highly favored by the living God. And so the word of God, it says, "If my people who are called by my name, if they will do some things, then I'm going to do some things." And so it says, "If they will humble themselves." See, can you humble yourself? Or are you full of pride? Can you be humble? Can you humble yourself and say, "God, I got some things in my life and they're not right. And God, I don't like them there anymore." See, or are we full of pride? I'm not preaching this to the whole world, but I'm preaching it to every person under the sound of my voice. It says, "If they will humble themselves." Why does the word tell that to Christians? This is a Bible verse for Christians. If my people, if they'll get humble, if they'll get humble, why does God tell us that? Because He knows that we are full of pride. And let me tell everybody, pride, it always comes before a fall. It always does. And I would be an awful pastor if I didn't address certain things. And so I want to tell you and encourage you this morning, be humble. Be humble. You're called, you're highly favored, but there's some things that have to happen. "If my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." I don't know about y'all, but I got some ways in me that are wicked. Okay? Now, if you can keep it real with yourself and examine your own life, you might find that in your life. I don't know. I'm not you. See, you're the only one that's going to entirely know about yourself. But the word is still true, Dale. It says, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll pray. See, the believer hardly prays anymore. If they'll seek my face. See, everybody's seeking the hand of God. God, do this. God, give me some money. God, give me a new car. God, give me a raise. God, do this and God, do that. See, God is not a short order cook. If they'll humble themselves and if they'll pray and if they will seek my face. if they'll seek my face, and then if they'll make a turnaround in their life, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then there's some things that I'm going to do. It says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I don't know about y'all, but I would sure love for God to heal Logan County. I don't hate the drug dealer, and I don't hate the drug addict, and I want them healed, both of them. For the person addicted to pornography, and it screwed up their marriage, I also would like them healed also. For every person that's struggling in their finances, I'd like them to be a healing go on in their finances. For every person and they're telling God they can't forgive because God doesn't even know how bad they were hurt, see, I'd like that person healed. See, in 2019, God woke me up in January and I said, God, I'm not going to make a New Year's resolution, but God, you tell me what to pray for and I'll pray for it. And he said, Kelly, ask me for Logan County. Ask me for it. I want to give it to you. Church is not a spectator sport, but it's a place that believers gather together and we gain strength, we gain insight, we gain encouragement. And I want to tell you, if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, there is a verse and it says, do not forsake the gathering of believers. See, everybody has an excuse why they ain't coming through the church doors. And I want to tell you, at the end of the day, there are reasons why you can't come. If you're elderly, if you're this or if you're that. Now keep in mind, Paul over here is 89 years young and he's sitting in this place today. So this goes for the youngest to the oldest. If you're sitting there and you're watching me, I'm not condemning you. But what I am doing is I'm letting the Spirit of God convict that heart. Because if you're making excuses why you can't come into a church and sit down and take a part. See, there's something that for this person that God has for this seat right here. There's something that didn't happen today because they're not here. This is not just my job. Everybody's got an excuse. And what I'm going to ask you to do is lay every one of them down. Amen. And what is going to happen now, if you can, if God has given you strength. Now, for some of you, you can't. And I get it. And God gets it. But for every person, if you can get on your knees and begin to pray for Logan County, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and pray. Because you know what? We don't want the spirit of murder coming over our city. We don't want all of that stuff. See, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and I'm going to ask you to pray. If you can, I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and begin to pray for Logan County. Because see, God says that if we would do some things, that he would heal our land. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over Logan County. And I take authority right now over the spirit of murder, God, that would like to come over this city. And I cast it down right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you would pour over, God, the county, over Logan County. And I ask that you would heal it right now. Lord, I ask for exposure to take place this week. God, for every person that they're selling drugs, Lord, I ask that you would catch them in that right now and expose it. God, for every drug dealer that's cooking it, God, I ask that you would expose it. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're going to begin to heal Logan County as your children begin to pray, God, right now. Lord, for every person, and they're struggling with depression and anxiety and the spirit of suicide, God, I ask that you would meet that person right where they're at. Lord, you know where it is. God, everything that we have felt here on this earth, you have felt it with us. So God, I ask you right now to encourage every heart. Lord, I ask that you would walk down every aisle and meet them right where they're at. Lord, for the family and they're struggling right now to make ends meet, God, I ask that you would make it to where there's more than enough. Lord, for every person in need of healing right now, God, I ask that you would touch their spirit, their soul, and their body in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now over every person in Logan County that's struggling with mental illness. Because, God, that really is a thing. And, God, I ask right now that you would wash over their mind and over their heart, God, and make it brand new like only you can. And, Lord, for every church in Logan County, God, I ask you for unity right now in Jesus' name. God, every place of worship, I ask that you would put a hedge of protection over it in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would help us to work together and not against each other. And Lord, I ask right now for Logan County. You told me to ask you for it, so God, I ask you for it once again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, God is so good. I want to thank my sound people, all of the folks with the sound. Can we give them a standing ovation? If you think speaking in front of people is difficult, you got no idea what it's like to have to follow someone with a camera while they run down the aisles and act crazy. And you got no clue how it is to sit there and to try to work the sound while you're putting up the music, while you're chasing the crazy blonde, while you're doing all this stuff. And you know what? They have one of the most intricate, complex, difficult jobs. Every time there's a church service that goes on, it's a miracle when it goes on without an issue. So I want to welcome you this morning to Paris Christian Center. I want to remind you that Jesus is still Lord. He's still doing everything that he promised in the Word of God, and he loves you very much. I want to speak this morning on something that I've dealt with. I always minister out of the overflow of my life because it is what I know best. Amen. I'm going to minister on helplessness today. So if you'll go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 16 through 18. And I had so many moments in this week, Jill, where I just felt very helpless. I just came to a place where I felt, God, I don't even know what to do. I feel like I can't do anything. I feel helpless. I want to do something, or I this, or I that. Maybe you felt like that this week. Maybe you keep looking at the problem and you think, this is just going to be how it always is. And you come to points in your life where you feel very helpless. And I want to minister to you this morning, and I want to encourage you because, see, God is full of help for you. And so as I began to meditate last night, God began to ask me some questions. And he said, Kelly, the way that you can minister the most is if you'll pull things out of your life. And he said, at what point in time do you begin to feel helpless? And so I wrote down 4 points, and I feel like they will resonate with everyone. So one of the things that I believe makes people feel helpless is when things have been the same way for a long time, and we feel like they're going to always be that way. When something has been a certain way for a long time, and we feel like they're going to always be that way. When we get to places like that in life, we feel helpless. We feel hopeless. Perhaps we feel overwhelmed about them. And so I'm going to take you right to the Word of God, and we're going to address that thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're in a place in your life, if you're in a season of your life and you feel helpless in some things, maybe you have a family issue, maybe you're having a financial issue, maybe you're having a health issue, and you feel like, you know what, it's going to just always be this way. I'm taking you right to the Word of God, because see, God knows exactly where you're at. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. I believe that losing heart is the first step to helplessness. When you just throw in the towel and you lose heart and you say, you know what, devil, you really are right. It is going to always be this way. I've learned many times just by my own life that when the world would tell you no, God will tell you yes. When the world would say, well, you've gone too far and now you can't have this, this, and this, God will tell you the opposite. He'll say, you know what, I love you unconditionally, and because I love you unconditionally, I'm going to give you a fresh start. Not because you've earned it, not because of whatever, but just simply because you're my kid. And so the Word tells us, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, and yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. See, you can have an issue that may last you to where you've got gray in your hair. When you started out, maybe your hair was black and now it's gray and you still got that same thing going on. Though outwardly you're wasting away, yet inwardly you're being renewed day by day. When you want to feel hopeless, when you want to feel like it's never going to change, let me tell you something. Ask God. God, renew me on a daily basis. God, give me hope and mercy and grace every morning. Because you look here, nothing is permanent for you. So it says here, for our light and momentary troubles. Y'all say momentary. Momentary. Notice in the Word, it didn't say permanent. It did not say permanent. It says our light and momentary troubles. So whatever you're in that's made you feel helpless, like it's going to always be that way, the Word of God says, though our light and momentary troubles, what you're going through is not permanent. I don't care what the world has told you. I don't care what your boss told you, your doctor. Our light and momentary troubles. If you allow the devil to come in and make you feel like something is permanent, then that's going to be an issue for you. Now, I'm going to wait for this service to begin to be still, because the Holy Spirit would like to say some things, and the devil would love to put a hindrance on the service. So before I get started, you know what? If this offends you, it shouldn't. If this offends you, it shouldn't. And if it offends you, that is your first hint that you are an immature Christian. If the pastor can't say something and you without getting your feathers ruffled and agitated, then you up in the wrong church. I can tell you that for sure. Now, if any of these kids, since we've already had some interruption, if y'all want to go to the bathroom, Shane, you're such a good kid. You're good? Great. Daddy, are you good? All right. That's my godson. And look here, kids are going to cry. And you know what they're going to do? Get over it. And you know what their parents are going to do? Get over it. All right? So let's draw us back in. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Whatever you're going through, God has something for you that far outweighs what you're currently going through. It outweighs it, Sherry. It outweighs it. And so it says, so we got to do something. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. You can't see the solution right now, but there is one. You can't see your kidney, but it's working and it's going and it's helping your body. You can't see the thing that God has ordained to help your circumstance, but it's already there. It's already there. I remember one day standing at the door of the church when I was pregnant with Carson Paul. And I was big and fat, Lord, and it was July. And I was sitting there at the door, and I was just a boo-hooing. And I was the door greeter at that time. And Dad goes, Kelly, we can't have a door greeter at the front of the church crying and boo-hooing, especially a pregnant one. He said, it don't look good. Now, when you're in the pastor's family, something comes over you, and you're always worried about how everything looks. I can't tell you how many hours of sleep or you... months probably worth of sleep I have lost over just the pure worrying what everybody thinks. And God has informed me this week that that is an idol for me that he wants me to lay down. And I am trying my best. So when you pray for your pastor, and I mean this, I am real as it gets. When you pray for me, what I want you to pray for specifically for me is for me to lay that idol down. I can be more effective in the ministry if I could get over that. And it is hard for me. And Melissa, it's one of them idols that has attached itself to me since I was a little girl. But I know I've got to lay it down. So, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And I was crying at the front of the church. And Dad goes, what on earth is the problem? And I said, well, I'm about to have this baby in like 3 weeks, and I don't know who's going to watch this baby. I had gone to a daycare at that time, and I went out of there crying because I was like, ain't no way my baby boy's going to be up in there. See, I was telling God, I was all sorts of crazy. I was thinking, I can't afford to quit my job, but I'm quitting. I'm going to stay home with this baby. You know, when you get yourself all worked up, you can think some very irrational thoughts. When you get to feeling helpless, you can have some very irrational thoughts. And God said something, or Dad said something, and it stuck with me. And I've remembered it all those years, and that was 11 years ago. And he said, Kelly, you have a problem, and you don't know the answer because it's not time yet. You're over here worrying about that thing. You're worrying about who that person is that's going to watch that baby, but you don't know because it's not time for you to know it. God knows. And when it's time for you to know, and I thought, well, my God, we got 3 weeks. What do you mean it ain't time? Look here, it came just in time. It came just in time. And whatever God has for you, it's going to far outweigh what you're going through. So if you feel helpless in here today, I want to encourage you. The best way that I know how to encourage you is with the Word. And if you will get in the Word, that Word will get inside of you. And you will realize that, you know what? Whatever the thing I'm going through, it's momentary. And it's passing away. And whatever the devil has tried to throw at me, what God has for me, it far outweighs what I've been going through. And so it says that. And so one of the things that I wanted to point out is, yeah, sometimes we feel helpless when things have been the same way for a long time. But I want to point out that in the Word, God says, your light and momentary troubles. They're momentary. When you want to feel helpless and overwhelmed, you speak to that situation and you plead the blood of Jesus over it and you say, now, financial issue, I'm calling you out right now and I'm telling you that you are momentary and you're leaving here, and by golly, I accept and receive right now what God has for me. I receive it and I accept it. God hasn't left you helpless. But you got to get into the Word, and I can't stress that enough to you. This right here that goes on for 45 minutes every Sunday, it's not enough for you. Don't you need air every moment of the day? The Word of God says, now pray without ceasing. I know people that pray when they go to the bathroom. I am convinced that literally my parents, they pray about everything that they do. Do they, don't they, Casey? I mean, if mom is going to the little pull-out drawer that has got Tupperware in it, she's going to pray about it. I always told her, I will never be like you, Mother. Every time I open your cabinet, something flies out, nearly breaks my nose. Look here, you can't open a cabinet in my house without somebody nearly knocking your teeth out. I mean, but they pray, and they pray without ceasing. And so the second point that I want to point out today is when we can't see a resolve in the natural realm, we begin to feel helpless. When we can't see the answer to the problem in the natural realm, then we begin to feel helpless. Because we want to look at the situation. I'm going to switch. Are we here? We good. I want you to notice how much the devil's trying to mess with this entire service. Look here. If I can preach outside, I can preach to y'all without a microphone because I'm the loudest person I know. Ask my mom. So it says here, when we can't see a resolve in the natural realm, we begin to feel helpless. The moment I think that I'm thinking about having a problem, Tina, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix it. And I have lost more sleep and had more anxiety over that. And you know, 90% of what you're so worried about never happens. It never happens. But we spend a lot of time worried about the thing that we've created that we think is going to happen, and it don't. And a lot of what we think is this is going to be the thing that does me in. I can't tell you how many times I've thought that. Look here, if only it were that easy. God has backed y'all so many times. So many times you have woke up and the devil had ordained to kill you, to steal from you, to deceive you, and God wouldn't let him. God would not allow it. See, if you could pull back the curtain and look in your life and see how favored that you are, how blessed that you are. See, it don't matter that you can't see something in the natural realm because we don't serve a natural God. So no, we need to use something that is very rare in the world today, and that is called common sense. It's like left everybody I know. Just common sense, okay? So we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. And because of that, you cannot look on and depend on your five senses to handle all the intricate parts of the problems that you have in your life. Because we don't serve a natural God. And because of that, Brother Mikey, the way that God will handle it for you is supernaturally. When we cannot find or see the answer to the problem in the natural realm, a lot of times that will make us feel helpless. You know, maybe somebody said, well, you know, you can't ever have that because of this, that, or the other. And God's saying, no, they can. None of that matters. See, when God gives you a clean slate, he'll wipe away and he'll shut every mouth. See, if God can shut the mouths of the lions in there with Daniel, he can certainly shut up way more than that. But he'll do it in a supernatural way. And so, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 9. And I'm going to tell you why this happens. When we cannot see the answer, when we cannot see a resolve in the natural realm, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's at your job. You know, a lot of people, they'll say, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet because I don't even make what I have to send out. Do you think God woke up intimidated by that today? He did not. He didn't. I told God about the manna center countless times. I said, God, Parish Christian Center ain't got that to do that. God wasn't looking for me to try to figure out the financial aspect of that. What he was wanting to know, more importantly, is, Kelly, will you suit up and will you show up if I give you that? Amen. In my mind, I had something far less than what we're getting. But see, whatever God orders in your life, he will pay for it. Whether it's in favor, in provision, whether it's in finances, whether it's in just somebody saying, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance. Whatever it is, God knows. If you feel helpless about a situation this morning, maybe because you can't quite figure it out in your mind how it's going to be okay, I want to assure you today that it's going to be okay. And I'm giving you chapter, and I'm giving you verse. And right here in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 8 and 9, you can't look at your situation with your five senses, what you can see, what you can taste, what you can hear. See, all the devil has to do to mess you up is begin to whisper in your ear, you're never going to make it. This will always be that way. No, your kids won't get saved. No, you won't be able to pay your gas bill. No, you'll never get another opportunity. You know how many people never try because the devil talked them into the fact that they blew it? You may have blown it the first time God gave you a chance, but guess what? Chance number 2, 3, 4, 5, that's on the way. Now, you'd do better if you didn't need all them chances, because in between all them chances is years. Amen. Is years. Amen. I tell women when I minister at the jail, if you don't stop, see, the call is never going to leave you. So it can be 5 years. 10 years, 15 years, 20, 25, how long do you want to go? How long do you want to stay at the Logan County motel that they're telling you what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear? See, how long do you want the devil to have authority in your life to keep whispering to you that you can't make it, that no, it won't work out? See, away with that. But you cannot come at that in a natural way, because we don't serve a natural God. The kind of God that we serve is in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 and 9. And it says this right here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." See, what if God handled everything the way that you thought you had the problem solved? What if God handled everything the way that you solved that problem? Wouldn't we be in a world full of hurt? I have solved problems in my brain, and thank God he didn't take any of that into account, because them problems, they wouldn't have been solved. There'd be some extra problems. Have you ever said this? Thank you, God, for not answering that stupid prayer. Also, while I was pregnant with Carson, I began to pray, and I said, God, give me twins. I pray and I thank God every time that kid is acting up. Thank you, God, in heaven, sitting on the throne of grace. Thank you. You did not answer that stupid prayer. Look here, I'm sure these two have been a gem. Carson is like a concentrated version of like 10 kids in one person. Glory to God. And it's all I can do, Warren, to just handle them. And I tell myself, Kelly, God does not want you to have a prison ministry. And when it gets to that point, I call my mama and I call my daddy and I say, come get him. Unless you want to start bailing me out of jail. Because this kid has gotten on my last nerve that I had today. And I don't have any more, so come get the little blessing. I need a 5-minute intervention here. See, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Whatever you're thinking of, just lay that down. You'll drive yourself crazy thinking about how you can fix the problem. And God ain't going to fix it the way that you think. Why? Because he's a lot better at it than you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you feel hopeless and helpless, because you can't see the way that in the natural how it's going to be fixed. What you need to understand is cut yourself a very big break, go eat an ice cream and a cheeseburger, and just sit there and enjoy your life. Because whatever you think and however you think that God's going to fix it, He's going to do it better than you ever could have. You need to give your little mind a break. I tell myself all the time, Kelly, we need to give this pea brain a little bit of a break because you're overdoing it. Stop thinking. I tell myself all the time, stop thinking. Kelly, just stop thinking altogether. We're going to stop that. Why? Because whatever I could think up is nothing compared to what God has got in store. So if you feel helpless, look here, God's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. The way that God thinks about you, nobody in the world and in anything could ever think about you as much as God thinks about you. He thinks so highly of you. So stop trying to figure everything out. Don't let yourself feel helpless about it. Just know that God's already thought about it. When you woke up this morning, you were on God's mind. When you went to bed last night and you cried the very last tear over that situation, God felt it and He counted it. And He said, I'm going to wake them up. And when I do, tomorrow morning is going to be a fresh light, full of grace, full of mercy, full of provision. I'm going to encourage you today to not feel helpless. Realize you've got the best thing on your side. It is the Creator God. He has got you. He really does. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And it says here, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of God with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Before you enter into the season where you're in need, God knows it. God knows everything. He knows when you will draw your last breath. And it says here, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God wants to help you this morning. God doesn't have a bunch of mean things to do to you. He's here to help you. Now, the third point that I would like to make is, when we don't have the answers for others or even ourselves, sometimes we feel helpless. When we don't know what to say to others. Have you ever said about a situation, I don't even know what to say about it? I don't even know what to say. Have you ever said, I don't even know what to pray? I found myself in the middle of that this week. As every Monday, we serve the senior citizens of Logan County. And there was a tragic event in Logan County on Monday. And I don't know if everyone's from here. Maybe you know it. Maybe you don't know it. But somebody was killed right at Sonic. A young man. By another young man. And I was sitting here cooking. And I order my cherry Dr. Pepper every day from Sonic. Every day. Faithful. You want to really mimic faithfulness? Look at your pastor and how she goes to Sonic, because I am faithful to it. During the pandemic, my number one expense on my credit card was Sonic. Okay? They're like, what are you spending all your money on Sonic? Yeah, Sonic. So I couldn't get the app to work, so I thought, well, I'm going to go down and I'm going to just go through the drive-thru and get that drink. The moment I passed there, my heart got so sick because I knew there was some type of issue. I go in here, I sit down at my desk, and I just begin to pray, God, whatever's going on, I know it ain't good. I seen our chief of police walking. And anytime you see the chief of police walking the grounds, it ain't good. And I get a call. They say, Pastor Kelly, you're going to have to represent the state, and you're going to have to go tell this mother that her son was fatally shot and killed. And I just was sick about it. Absolutely sick about it. And the thing is she already knew. But because of all the policies and all of this and all of that, they got to be officially told. And I said, I don't even know what to say. What do you say? So I go, and I could just hardly even get it out of my mouth because I'm putting myself in her place. I have sons. And I just wrapped my arms around her and I just began to tell her. And her heart was broken. My heart was broken. And I left, came right back to the church. I said, I'm going to go sit in my office. I'm going to collect myself because I still have a job to do. Sat down for like 10 minutes. I'll be danged. Get another call. Pastor Kelly, you're going to have to represent the state a second time today, and you're going to have to go tell the shooter's mother that her son is also dead. At that point, I just stopped and I said, God, I don't know what to say. But I literally just preached about you putting words in my mouth. So God, I'm asking you right now to fill me up with the words to say. Because I'm helpless in this situation. I don't know what to say. And a lot of times in our life, when we feel the most helpless, it's because we don't even know what to say. We don't even know how to pray about it. We're so weary. We're so helpless in it. We don't know what to say. So I go down there. Tell them. And you know, what I can tell you is the grief was the same. The grief was the same. Told her, came back, and I have not been the same since I did that. Everybody's like, are you okay? You're acting this. No. No, I'm not okay. Because what I spend my life and have dedicated my life to do is to help people and build people and help heal them up. And when you got to tell not one but two mamas that, you feel like you're killing them. And it's the most devastating thing. So then I did something that you guys are going to be very proud of me for. I took a me day. Friday, we went up to Branson for a day trip. How many of you know what day trips mean? That means you're back the same day, just in case everybody's wondering and being nosy. I get it. I'm nosy too. Just thought I'd put that out there, all the dynamics of it. So we go and we see the Jesus show. How many of you have seen the Jesus show? Oh my gosh. It's fabulous. So they get to the part, and it's very theatrical and it's very real. They get to the part where they've got Jesus on the cross and he's dead. And they have this scene where his mother just lets out the most gut-wrenching cry because she's seeing her son on the cross. And she hits her knees and she begins to weep. And the moment she did that, Brother Larry, that hit me like a ton of bricks because it was Monday all over again for me. And I said, God, I know you're trying to tell me something in this week because I've spent this whole week feeling very helpless in different situations. And I want to tell you, God is there to help you. He is there to help you, Keisha, in the worst of the worst and the best of the best. And I cannot even describe the amount of grace and just amazing inspiration that the mother, the victim's mama, has shown this whole time. She has gotten on Facebook every day and encouraged everyone. And I want to tell you something. When you feel helpless, God's there to help you, but you can't. You cannot quit. You cannot get mad at God and say, well, God, you let this awful thing happen. See, you can't afford to do that. You got to keep yourself, and you got to keep yourself like a flint and keep going, because His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are so much higher than your ways that God sees when you need help. He's already made a way, but can you help someone else out of your helplessness, out of your devastation, out of your pain? See, the helplessness that you feel, God's already began to turn it around. But see, what are you going to do with it? You're not taking anything out of this life besides souls. That's it. And so let's go now to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 26 and 30. And it was so easy for me to write down what makes me feel helpless. And I wrote, when I don't have the answers for others or even myself. I did not have words for what I had to do Monday. The words were not there. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I want to speak to that person. And you say, you know, I don't even know how to pray for that. I don't even know what to say about it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I'm going to read that one more time because, see, God would like for that to just rest on y'all today. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself, not the peon, not the employee, not this and not that, the Holy Spirit Himself. That's how personal you are to God. That's how much that you mean to God. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. There are times or will be times in your life you don't have the words for them. However, the Holy Spirit is working and moving in your life, and He is interceding for you with groans that your words could not even begin to express. That's how much God is into helping you. He knows that we all come to places in our lives where, Miss Mary, we don't know what to say anymore. We don't know what to do anymore. We don't know how to pray about it anymore. We feel like we've prayed every which way we could. God is there to help in that time. How does He help? The Holy Spirit begins to intercede for you. He knows, right? The Holy Spirit is spot on in your life. Spot on. And so, it says that He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So there are times you don't know what to say. You don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit is in that situation, and He begins to intercede with you, and He begins to intercede with the will of God. And He says, you know what? I'm going to intercede for this person, and my intercession is going to draw them into the very perfect will that I have for their life. You're not going to have all the words for some of the things that you'll go through or some of the things that you've been through. And we need to stop trying to verbalize everything and just say, God, I need help. God, I need help. I feel helpless. God, I need help. My last point was when we look to others to be our source and our help. And I say this so humbly. People don't mean to, but they're not going to have all the answers for you. They don't mean to let you down. They don't mean to hurt you. But some of the times that I have felt the most helpless was when I was looking at a natural person. Like, oh, well, this won't work out unless this person does this, this, and this. Look here. God created that person, and it is God Himself that's making you. Not a person. Not a person. So if your helplessness is coming from, well, this person don't like me, so I can't get that job, or this person this and that person that, look here, lay that down. The word says the heart of the king, or the heart of the person in authority, the boss, the law, the state, the this, the that, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and God will turn it whichever way that it needs to go. See, if you've done your best, God has the heart of every person on this planet. He's got them. The very next breath that they have, it's in His hand. And God will turn those hearts, even of people that aren't even saved. Even of people that aren't even saved. God will begin to work on that heart and soften it. So many times, people say, Pastor, pray. And I'll say, you know what? What needs to happen in this situation is hearts need to be softened. So God, in Jesus' name, I pray that hearts are softened in this situation right now. Many times I've been more helpless, Jill, than I should have felt because I felt like my help was from a person. My help is not from a person. It's from the living God. If you're helpless in here today and it's hinging on a person, then you need to lay that idol down and you need to seek God because, see, God's the only help that you got. He's your source. And if you're single in here, take it from me. No person completes you. No person completes you. No person completes you. And you can't put that on somebody and your happiness rise and fall on how you guys are getting along. That ain't how it works. Psalms chapter 121. We're going to look at verse 1 through 8. I'm ministering today on helplessness. Psalms chapter 121. I'm going to begin to look at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? If you're looking at other people in here today and you're thinking that your life depends on what they're going to say or think about you, and I'm preaching to myself, you need to lay that down. Because if you'll lift your eyes up, your help is coming from God. Your acceptance is coming from God. Your everything is coming from God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He won't let it. He won't let it. Is it going to feel like it sometimes? Yes. Are you going to feel like you're defeated sometimes? Yes, you are. Are you going to feel so awful that you can't even hardly pray or lift your hands? Yes. You're going to feel a whole lot of ways, but He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. God ain't up there sleeping when you're in the worst battle of your life. He is still on the throne. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And I want to say, my last thought for the day is this right here. So many times in this week, I found myself feeling very helpless. And I cried out to God many, many times. And I got on Facebook the other day, and I saw the mother of one of these boys. And she said this right here. I am certain. I am certain. Not I think, not I hope, not I wonder. I am darn certain that the day that my son walked through those doors, I am certain. See, what are you certain of today? I am certain that God walked in there with my son, and he was with them the entire time. The moment that that boy was killed, the moment that the other one was killed. See, can you believe in the worst part of your life, when you're feeling the most helpless, the most hopeless, when the grief sets into your life, when devastation comes to your family, do you know for certain that come hell or high water, that God was still with you in the middle of that? Because see, you can't feel every time you have a problem that God left you. And if that's how you feel every time you go through a battle, then you ain't got a hold of God like you need to. She said, I am certain that the living God walked through the doors of Sonic with my son George. And I am certain that he was with him the entire time. I'm going to ask you, church, be certain. Be certain. When it's hard, be certain. When you don't feel like it, be certain. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, for every person, Lord, if they're watching on Facebook, God, if they're here in the congregation today, God, I ask you right now to give them a peace. Lord, we already know that you've helped them. God, it may not have been manifested yet. They may not can see it, but God, I'm certain that you are helping right now in every problem, in every situation. So God, right now, I ask that you would give them peace about every battle that they're going through. Lord, I ask you once again to wash over Logan County, and God, put a hedge of protection. God, let Monday, Lord, that happened, let that never happen again, God, in our city and in our county, God, in Jesus' name, amen.